Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And tonight we just watched Season 7, Episode 4, titled The Spoils of War. We're here to do the instant take. Aaron, what do you think?
Dude, I have the biggest Game of Throner right now. It is raging out of control. If it's still going by 2 a.m. this morning, I'm going to have to call my doctor. Probably plenty of time.
Call Maester.
Probably plenty of time to think about whether Danny has the ships for this and if all that all makes sense. But Jesus Christ, for the spectacle!
Yeah,
it was amazing. We've seen a lot of spectacle in this show, like starting at the Blackwater episode, most recently in Hardhome and the Battle of the Bastards. But holy cow, this was on a whole other level with. With all this real stunt work and horse work seamlessly composited with this awesome dragon stuff, good, you know, the rubber drogons of bullshit years past are gone, and it was amazing. What did you think?
Yeah, so with the ending as balls out, I guess, as it is,
yeah,
it's easy to overlook, I think, just how good the rest of the episode was, too. Like, I think this is
sure.
all-time great episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was so much fun to watch that final battle, but it was also just as much fun to watch Arya fighting Brienne,
yep.
Watch Arya reunited with Sansa.
Yep.
Top to bottom, I was just impressed by this episode and loving every second of it.
Speaking of impressed, two people in my mailbag, which I'll give credit to on Tuesday because I don't have your names on the tip of my tongue, they coined the term, at least I think, maybe they got off Reddit, Dr. Branhatton.
Okay, yeah.
Brilliant.
I've seen that floating around. Yeah.
Because I thought that maybe like Mira, I thought maybe that would be like hold on to humanity Bran or like when his sister came back.
Nah.
But he is
no. Nah.
I wonder if there's gonna be anything that's able to shift him back to get his humanity. Because I do feel like that he's kind of with his detached nature that he is a bit of a target. You know, I never would have thought this up till this season, but like if the Night King makes a pitch about, you know, gives him the Agent Smith speech from The Matrix, humanity's a virus, yeah. And we're the cure, like he might fucking go for it.
Licks the sweat off his forehead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's interesting how Bran is playing as the Three-Eyed Raven. I guess that kind of knowledge would affect different people differently because I still saw a lot of emotion in Max von Sydow's depiction of the Three-Eyed Raven, but this is a lot more detached and
he's had a century to live with the burden, get used to the mantle too.
Yeah, so Bran's just kind of absorbing everything and I think
and he wasn't ready.
No, I can see like a glimmer of something of old Bran when Arya shows up.
A little
like,
bit.
I think she it's actually a gets a hug out of him. I think she gets a full-on, like, real arm-around-the-back hug.
Right.
Sansa
right.
got nothing.
Right. I think about these kids and how young they were when they started and how lucky they are to get these subtle performances out of Maisie and Sophie and Isaac and it's just great. It's awesome to behold. My poor wife, she could not stop crying. Like from the second Arya walked through the gates and like she's just
staring
like
staring at the Stark banner.
Yeah, yeah. When all three of them walk into courtyards, if someone just she goes, I swear to God, if someone just like points at them right now and says, "Look, it's the Stark children," I'll just like lose my shit forever.
Right.
No, it was great. And I love the Arya's back in Winterfell. I love the possibilities of having this stone cold sister assassin out there.
Yeah, you can really see Sansa come to appreciate who Arya has become.
I love the scene down in the crypt where they played. It was a little bit awkward, but you know, also it's a family. It's family, and that carries through. Shifting conversation topics. How hot was the chemistry between Jon Snow and Dany? Were you feeling it?
I didn't notice it. Like
really,
the after whatever they do, the inside the thrones whatever it is afterward. They were talking about how, we just let the moments speak for themselves and the closeness, and we could just feel it. And I'm like, I didn't really feel it. I was more concerned about, like, the drawings and like what they meant and that kind of stuff.
That if I want to deflate my Game of Thrones that I've got raging here for just a second, that seemed a bit convenient that you just got these.
I thought John drew him himself to convince her. Look, you see this?
Right, and he couldn't. It says Jay Snow. Like
he couldn't help.
Yeah,
but sign
he couldn't
it,
help.
Yeah.
He couldn't help. He's so proud of it. That would be hilarious because I felt like that's like, come on, this like Cave of Shadows business, like, you know, I don't know.
You thought it was too convenient?
Is Werner Herzog going to come up here and say, and then now we see Jon Snow give 10,000 years of history to Daenerys Targaryen. Notice how the subtle play of shadow and light, feet and the I don't know. That was a little convenient.
You're more focused on the romance.
Well, I'm
the
just saying, like,
romance.
Stannis is aware of all this, and like I remember him being a little skeptical about the real battle, and like, I mean, I don't know. You got the I assume that the cave paintings were, because I thought at first when I started seeing, like, oh, I was like, oh my god, look at that spiral pattern, look at that diamond to line through, that's like the patterns they've made out of, oh, and like then they just completely connected the dots and crossed the T's and dotted the I's, and I'm like, is that too much? But who gives a shit, because Drogon killed the Lannister dude blowing away to ash like Sarah Connor's
T2.
Nightmare style was fucking rad.
That's exactly what went through my
head.
Steal
the
well.
Fire part 2, the rubber rematch went just exactly like it did before. I was legitimately scared. I'm like, are they might kill Drogon as like Bronn is getting his crossbow out. And
that's the craziest thing about this battle is I'm not rooting for anybody to win.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm so confused. Like what do I want to happen here?
I like
here?
Jaime. I like Bronn. I like Dany.
Right?
Like Tyrion.
I want Dany to conquer Westeros, but I don't want these guys to die in the process.
And that moment when Tyrion's on the hill and he sees Jaime pick up the spear and he's like, just fucking... Like, that was a genuine... that had genuine stakes to it.
And even before that, when he's observing the battlefield and doesn't see
and
Jaime,
see
he's
the,
like,
and all these
I
Lannister
probably
guys.
Just killed him.
Yeah, yeah, and all these Lannister men getting mowed down. And, and you know, I think that's why, like, in the scene in the first episode where Arya, that they kind of humanized the Lannister boys.
Yeah.
That paid off in spades here because it was as badass as it was and as much as you're cheering, you can't help but feel bad for these because that's a bad way to go, Dragonfire, man.
Yeah, it's not
And then,
great.
Like, that's 1A, burning alive from some giant lizard. Mm-hmm. 1B is being disemboweled by some fucking crazy horse lord from Essos. Like, nothing's good here. Nothing is good.
No. I really like the choking amount of smoke that's on the battlefield at any time. Like, you can hardly see anything.
And like these guys, like, hold the line into the Dothraki. And then when like Drogon comes over, like this fucking like death on a wing, it's.
Yeah, I was impressed. I was wondering, you know, how quickly you can reload a dragon. Like, can you just Dracarys all over the battlefield? Looks like you can.
Yeah, apparently.
There's no reload time. It's just like blow fire here, blow fire there.
Right. I wonder if you can, like, and you think about, like, is this, I kept on thinking about, like, what this would look like against an army of whites who, are, you know, human beings. One of our chief virtues is we're not very flammable.
Yeah,
mostly water, hard to burn. Mm-hmm. You compare like how the Lannister soldiers go versus these guys who apparently are made of magic and kerosene and wicker. it's going to I kind of feel bad for the Night's King. Does the Night's King have scorpions?
Probably not.
They have ice scorpions.
Oh, ice scorpions! Definitely.
Yeah, they're going to do one better than the. You know, the ice spiders of legend were going to write the ice scorpions.
Yeah, I don't think he's expecting it either.
I also, when they were showing the caravan and when it became clear that the Dothraki were there, and I'm thinking, well, probably the dragon's going to be there. It's like, if these dragons come up and pick these gold wagons up and carry them off, no one is ever going to believe that I'm not reading the spoilers. Because I made that as an offhand. Like, wouldn't it be cool if they did? I'm like, oh, shit, what if they do? I'll never get my credibility. So I'm kind of like... Whew, glad they just burned and killed everybody instead of... Also, is that gold salvageable? Like, Dany is just lighting those wagons up. And
I mean,
that dragon,
probably. Like, it's going to be on the ground, right?
I mean, that dragon fire looks like it's hotter than hell because it's literally turning dudes to ash.
Yeah. Yeah, you get hit direct with it, you're T2'd.
I was a little, there was a couple things where I mean, the rule, like, I was losing my mind throughout the whole thing, but the rational part was like, do you think Braun could really jump out of the way of this conflagration? Could he, like, full body tackle Jamie off of his horse in time? Could, like, why is this random mud puddle in the middle of this place, like, 100 feet deep, that Jamie's falling into with full plate armor? Is he make it out?
Man, can you imagine how hard it is to swim with A, you're in most of your plate armor,
right?
And B,
you got a gold bowling ball strapped to one hand. Right. Like, he's gonna have to get rid of that.
Yeah, Braun's gonna have to pull him out, and I don't even know if he's gonna be able to do it. Braun doesn't really wear armor that
no,
big, does
he doesn't.
He? Yeah.
He doesn't.
He's more of a leather guy.
Yeah, I wonder if that, because they've made a point of that. I wonder if that's going to be the thing that ends up saving them.
Could be. I mean, Braun's definitely in the mix. So.
The other thing I want to talk about is Bran dropped some hints that he knows he's ready to drop a dime on Littlefinger at the slightest provocation.
Yeah, but he might not get to him before Arya does. Because Arya's eyeing him, too. Like, I want that face on Arya by the end of this season.
Yeah, I'm...
I called it jokingly. Like, at Con of Thrones, but I'm totally on board now.
She was looking at him like a wolf looks at a raw piece of meat.
Yeah.
Like, her and Bran both. I'm like, that's coming and going. Like, Bran's a sledgehammer. Arya's the rapier. You're fucked, Littlefinger, because you know what you are? You're just a little toad.
And it was such a great battle. Like, that overhead view we got. From Sansa and Littlefinger's perspective.
No, I actually thought it was really great because, like, it seemed like a really good blend of, like, all the things that she's learned. Like, you know, this assassin stuff, like, the dirty fighting of the Hound and, like, the water dancing stuff. And,
and neither of them really got the edge at the end. Like, they both kind of come to a draw.
No, I think Arya killed Brienne, like, 12 different times.
At the beginning, but I think... You know,
right.
Brienne, after training with her for a second,
you also, like,
adapted.
Brienne probably is not just going to go beast mode when she's confronting this little girl.
She's
so,
letting
like,
it out a little
I feel like
time.
The first five or six times she slit her throat, it's like that's Brienne just kind of, like, sussing her out.
No, I think they fight each other to a standstill at the end of that scene.
Do you think so?
Because Brienne's got her massive sword up.
Right.
Arya's got her little sword at her neck.
Right.
It seems like they could both deal a killing blow.
Yeah, I would. I don't know who I'd put money on. Because
probably Arya. She's got the face thing.
And she's so quick. Like when those fucking Stark oafs were trying to, like, grab her in the beginning.
Yeah. Good job. Good job, Milos. Milos? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Taught her well.
Yeah. Also, I like that was a call. Like, there's been so many callbacks to the first few seasons, and that being challenged at the gate smacked of Arya trying to get back into Red Keep and saying, my father's the Hand, and they're like, you know, go fuck yourself. The Lannister guys are like, go fuck yourself. They're doing a lot of that this year, and it's working like a charm on me, man.
I'm digging
it like a backhoe.
I like when they call out how much the statue really doesn't look like Ned.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of does, but not really.
But it makes sense, too, because, like, everyone that's seen his face was dead.
Yeah. I mean, they could probably go get his head if they want. It's up on a spike somewhere.
It's still covered in pitch and on one. Uh-huh. After Joffrey died, everyone forgot, but it's just still hanging up there in a pike.
Yeah, clean it up.
Man, what else? What else to talk about? So you really didn't feel any heat between John and Danny.
No,
like,
I
was thinking, like, they
it.
Might fuck. Like, he might show. When he says, I have something to show you, Your Grace,
right,
I'm like, it's called the Lord's Kiss.
Right.
you know, especially since, like, I thought, like, they're not really going to do that. But then when Miss Sandy were talking about, a great many things happened, I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. John's going to introduce her to the Lord's Kiss, and that's going to seal the deal.
Yeah, let's be honest. Like, one thing happened, Miss Sandy.
I don't know.
I know at least one thing that didn't happen.
I don't
I can tell
know.
You
I
that
feel
much.
Like it was hot, steamy eunuch slave sex all to the break of dawn.
Sex. Quotation marks.
Hey, there's all shapes and sizes, Jim Jones.
That's true.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on. It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
We're
getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live. Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Our coverage of Hot D, Fire and Blood, and the 1980s Shogun miniseries continues. But then on Tuesday, for the first time in 35 years, we asked a question. Who framed Roger Rabbit? Hop aboard the train to Toontown as we revisit this incredible blending of live action and animation to see if it still holds up all this time later.
Then on Wednesday, we get our first look at Blake Crouch's mind-bending sci-fi series, Dark Matter. First two episodes drop simultaneously on Apple TV Plus, and we'll have a pair of podcasts quantumly linked ready for you to observe.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
I like that. I don't know. I mean, I don't have much more to say about that battle. I do like that Missandei kind of explains to John here that they're basically the same. Like,
yeah.
You are Danny. Danny is you.
Yeah.
The people follow you because they want to, not because they have to.
I also thought when she turns to John to ask him for his advice, like, I thought that was really fairly eloquent when it's in John Stark terms.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, that they did the same shit, different day, and if you just go and burn men and melt castles, it'll be the same thing that they've seen the time and time again. And you're... aura of impossibility and that was really good.
Yeah, I sort of feel like this Targaryen needs to be tempered by the Stark, right? Like
almost like it's a song of ice and fire.
Yeah, really? Like I mean, that's the thing.
So
she comes to this land and she is clearly still not the person to rule Westeros or to free Westeros from rule, because she wants to be the ruler. That's not what John wants to do. That's not what a Stark would do, right?
I also thought, like, because, you know, I've been repping this theory for as long as anybody about her, you know, essentially, if there's a form of this where Dany wins and she's still alive at the end, that she will not sit the Iron Throne. Or if she does, it'll be as a, you know, some kind of constitutional monarchy. And I thought that they kind of gave some support to that when Missandei said she's not the queen because of birthright or whatever, she's the queen we chose. Well, that's the bedrock of democracy, the people choosing their leaders. I got excited about that.
Yeah, last week really threw me for a loop on that because
she was
I'm the ruler because of my name, because of my father's name. Like, it doesn't give you any authority, and John is kind of showing her for one last time that's the deal.
What'd you think when John met Theon? Because I was like, oh, I hope they don't hug it out.
No, I thought they played that perfectly.
I thought it was perfect, too. Like, yeah. I know what you did for my sister, and that's why I'm not going to just fucking gut you right now. Yep. Like, I'm not going to gut you like a fish otherwise.
I guess. Well, okay. So Danny left right before that.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Took her armies she's and gone. Left. So Theon hasn't had a chance to ask her about Yara.
Because I guess
yet.
She's got just enough ships to send to take that. And it, also, it's yeah. not... It wasn't a huge... I mean, how many Lannisters were there? Like, why... Like, there's a shitload of them that went between the, you know, the rebel Tyrell forces and the Lannister forces. You know, we saw them just marching up to the castle. And by the way, one more thing about the battle, like, when the Dothraki crested that ridge, that was awesome. And then when they charged down and you see, like, this big, like, giant stone in the background, again, cinematography, and I know a lot of that is real, a lot of that is CGI, top-notch. And I completely lost my point in praising the visuals of the show, as I often want to do.
Do you think?
Oh, did it seem like there wasn't as many Lannisters there? Did they? Was Highgarden a tougher nut to crack than they were letting on? What?
I couldn't really tell. I know there's a pretty long line, but he was talking about, you know, how the tale. There were a lot of stragglers.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to go mop up or if. Their goals were accomplished, and she simply wants to get out of there with the dragon intact.
And now it seems like that Dany's or Cersei's tactical superiority is a very short-lived thing.
Yeah.
That she's got, you know, because she's not going to get the Golden Company, because she's not going to have the gold. The Iron Bank is going to be all the more ravenous after this disastrous turn of events.
Yep.
Like, Dany will either have the gold or she's destroyed the gold because she doesn't really need the gold. She does need that harvest. I thought that was pretty smart, too, the fact that they show that you know, the gold is underway, but the harvest still has to be collected.
Mm-hmm.
So that food thing that's a real thing to fight over is still kind of out there to be won or lost.
Bronn was supposed to help with that, right?
He was, but I don't think they got a chance because...
I thought they did.
I don't know.
Because
they
brought it all back.
I hope Dany
like
just didn't
time.
Burn it all, because also that caravan was a pitiful for the Harvest of the Reach. I don't think they got a chance to do it. I think that was like their next gig, but I don't
Randall
know.
Tarly comes up and says something to Jaime that I forget. That
what
I
about
wasn't
flogging
paying.
Men?
Yeah, but it was also about like stragglers, and maybe the harvest was at the back of the line there.
Because if Dany's got the gold and the harvest, then I don't like suddenly the Lannisters have nothing. They don't have their capital. They don't have, well, when I say capital, they don't have their family seat. They don't have gold. They don't have food. They got jack shit.
Yep.
They got walls and Dany's reluctance to burn people alive.
Yeah.
Mild reluctance, because she burned plenty of men alive in this episode.
Yeah, no, it was a great episode. I don't know how much more I want to say about it in the instant take, but
yeah.
There'll be a lot to say come Tuesday.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to come. So we've got the full podcast out, as you just teased, coming out Tuesday afternoon. Then we also will have, I'm sure, a lot to talk about, you know, in the spoiler take as far as these cave paintings and any other stuff that's in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of surprised that the Valyrian steel dagger wasn't a bigger deal than it was.
I think they're teasing. They're kind of dealing that out slowly.
But are they teasing? Because like Bran knows enough about Littlefinger that his goose is cooked at any time,
right?
Like I thought the dagger was going to be a big like piece to the puzzle, and it doesn't seem like it. And also, I don't know what Littlefinger is hoping to do other than just get curry favor with the Stark children.
Yeah.
When do you think Littlefinger, like, what's going on in Littlefinger's mind? I'm talking about questions.
Littlefinger knows he's fucked, man.
Because, like, I'm just like, when is he going to flee this castle?
Yeah, he needs to do it soon.
He's going to, and Littlefinger, you're going to flee with nothing but the clothes on your back because none of the Veil guys are going to follow you. John's going to come back with a wagon full of dragon glass and probably some kind of pledge of Dany's support. Although. Damn, that's the thing, a really bucket of cold water thrown on their burgeoning relationship when she's like, I will do all these things if you bend the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought there's, again, perfect opportunity for the Lord's kiss. The bent knee is the is the optimum. Puts it right there to be for the kiss to be administered.
I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think... Either that's really what either of them want.
Well, and here's the thing. No, well,
it's what
first
they
of all,
think they want in the moment.
First of all, they're clearly baiting us viewers into thinking this is going to happen.
That John's going to bend the knee? Because that's what I'm
talking about. No, not bend the knee. Okay. I'm talking about, you know.
John and Danny hooking up.
Exactly. Yeah. But the more, as overt as it was, I feel like it's just going to be, that's just to set up some kind of betrayal or tragedy to knock us down again. Don't let your guard down, people.
Yeah.
Do not let your guard down.
This is still Game of Thrones.
We could come back next week and Jamie's fucking dead.
Yeah.
And all your theories and all your who's going to do this and he's going to do that and his redemption arc is just pissed on by one George Hype Slayer Martin and aided and abetted by the Double D's. Do not let your guard down. Come on. We're this close. Don't let yourself open for a gut punch. But yeah, send feedback in. Let us know your thoughts. Run the feedback gauntlet. Game of Thrones at Bold Move. At Bold Move. At BoldMove.com. And we will hopefully consider your thoughts.
Yeah.
If not your literal emails on the podcast Tuesday. We'll see you then. I'm Aaron.
Yep. I'm Jim. See ya.
Hey, everybody, if you enjoyed this instant take or any of our podcasts all throughout the week, all this different stuff we do, know that it's only possible because of our direct listener support at club.baldmove.com. It's a great way to support us as independent podcasters and keep the bits flowing, but it's also it's not completely altruistic. You get a lot for your podcasting dollar. You get tons of bonus features, tons of extra audio and video content, ad-free feeds, VIP access to the forums. It's a real horn of plenty. That is safe from Dragonfire. It cannot be taken away. It cannot be burnt like so many wagons full of gold and grain from the Reach. It's there secure at club.baldmove.com. Check it out. And thanks for your support in advance.